All right, so how's everybody doing today? I'm here to talk to you about Universal Plug and Play and the stupidity involved in its design. So I'm just going to run you through what UPnP is. We're going to talk specifically about internet gateway devices, your standard wireless routers, you know, cable modems, etc. Hopefully give you a couple of demos. My laptop blew up, so I think it's working now. Talk to you about why it works and where we're going with that. All right, so obvious disclaimer, we'll ignore that. All right, so what's the goal of UPnP? Consumers seem to have a hard time setting up devices at home. So UPnP came out in, I think it was 2001. There were some draft standards before that. It's basically an auto-discovery mechanism for allowing devices to find their way out of your network. It uses DHCP, or if DHCP is not available, just picks a reserved address. And it's based entirely on common standards. So it's TCP and UDP and multicast. It's XML and SOAP all over HTTP, or a variant called HTTPU, which is UDP-based HTTP. So I want a target, right? That's why I'm here. So what do I need to do? Universal plug and play, when a device comes on the network, it starts listening on the multicast address listed up here. And there's two ways to find it. I can either do active discovery using a packet called an msearch packet. This is initiated by my laptop or some other device on my network that's looking for a router that can provide it with connectivity. And I'm going to get a unicast response back with a bunch of information about the device, including what's called the location URL. And that's where I can find even more information about the device. What services are available, how to use them, are there vendor extensions, or I can just sit around and wait. These devices are ridiculously chatty. They'll tell you every time something goes wrong or right. Any change to the device is going to bark on the network. Some of the devices just send, "I'm alive," so that you know that your router's still there. So this is what a typical msearch would look like. It looks a lot like HTTP. It's just an extension of HTTP. In this case, I'm looking for any device that speaks UPnP, not specifically an IGD. And I'm waiting, and I'm telling the devices that they can wait a max of 5 seconds. That header's fun to play with. You can stall out devices by setting it to like 50 hours. They won't respond to any other requests a lot of times. And then what's a response look back? The device tells me a lot. I get to find out generally what OS it's running, what extensions it has, if anything, and then this description of what the device is. Or I can just sit and wait and I get the same thing. So what's at that location URL? It's a giant XML blob, and if the demo doesn't work, I'll pull up some XML blobs and we'll look through them in a little more detail. So I'm going to pull my XML file, and I'm going to be looking for these five tags. Basically, the definition of the services the device provides. They can provide anywhere from 1 to, you know, 20 or 30. On average, they seem to provide 2 to 4. Service ID, which is just a unique identifier in case multiple devices provide the same service. A control URL, and this is going to be your SOAP endpoint that you're going to talk to for UPnP. And then an eventing URL, which I'm not going to use, but you can actually subscribe for callbacks on these devices. And then finally, a description of the actual service. So what do we do? Let's grab the service URL, get the description, parse it, send some messages, and have some fun. So specifically, we're talking about IGDs. IGDs are your typical firewall. They provide an enormous amount of functionality, although it's vendor-specific. People seem to ignore the standard. There's about 18 functions they're supposed to implement. Again, on average, they probably implement 6 or 7 of those functions, but it's all over the board. There's lots of interesting vendor extensions to play with, too. And they basically allow your, you know, your chat programs, your games, to set up rendezvous points inbound so that you can send photos to your friends or, you know, blow their heads off. So can I log into your router? No. I'm assuming you didn't leave default passwords, but I'll do it myself. So this is the crux of the problem. The WAN IP connection and the WAN PPP connection profiles both provide a function called add port mapping. Nowhere in there is there authentication. All I have to do is tell you what I want, where I want it to go. I don't even have to add a description. and I'm off and running. So hopefully this demo is going to work. And let me just switch out. This is what the demonstration network's going to look like. Just a host on the outside, a router, and then one of my inside hosts. And so this device right now is actually forwarding for, oh, I must have left Wi-Fi on. Whoops. Let's turn that off real quick. Anybody remember how to turn off Wi-Fi on a Linksys router? Set up. Wow, embarrassing. Disabled, thank you. Get off of my Wi-Fi. All right, let's get back to the demo. All right, so a couple of people's devices actually already requested connectivity to forward the following two ports through my IGD with no authentication. So let's make sure I can ping my device. All right, I've got connectivity there. And that's not going to be good. So I will continue without that demo. So what you would have seen here, if it had worked, would have been adding a simple UPnP rule, which would have then been accessible from the outside. So I added this rule 0000 to 1.20 on port 1234. So on my outside interface, which probably is not working, 68.5.1, I would have been able to connect to an internal demo server. The code's on your CDs. It's an updated version that, you know, I'll distribute afterwards. So let's go back to the demo, since the demos probably are not going to work. So what actually happened? I woke up using the code I wrote. I sent a discovery packet specifically looking for an internet gateway device. Specifically, I wanted to speak to the IP connection profile. And then I sent a SOAP message, and I said, hey, I want this port forwarded inbound. Would you do that for me? And the device said, sure. So this is bad? Yeah, I think so. There's no authentication. There's no user notification. Any internal host can forward for anyone else. So anything on your internal network can ask for a port forward to anything, say your NAS server, you know, say the admin interface for some other device you have on your network. So it gets worse, though. We already know about any internal hosts. Most of them also allow you to forward to anything on the WAN, so you get free onion routing. Set up a port forwarder for port 80 to Yahoo or, you know, some other site. Send this out with, say, you know, a client-side exploit or a worm, and you have port bounces on the majority of the routers out there that are running old firmware. And you can forward the admin interface on a lot of these devices, too. An interesting side effect, a lot of them have a finite amount of rules that they can do. So if you go to your admin interface and you look at how many port forwards you can put in manually, that's usually how many port forwards the device will take. If you fill them all up, port forwards don't work anymore. So what would you see? This will hopefully work. So I will log back into my router. And we will go to the application and gaming, and you don't see any rules. But I've obviously got three rules in the device right now. And if I go to add a fourth rule, it's still not going to show up. If you look in the logs on the device, the best you'll see is an inbound connection if it exists. In general, you won't even see that. This Linksys actually happens to do it. The majority of them give you no idea that you have rules. So forwarding rules that you can't see, not a good idea. Users who do check are going to get a false sense of security. And I know my mom doesn't know how to run Nmap. You know, how are you going to find these things? And are they going to respond? And what if there's not a listener there? So some devices save these rules, which is a very interesting side effect. So you need one packet to put in a rule. You walk away. You wait a couple of months. The device gets rebooted a couple hundred times. You still have your forwarding rule that's not available in the admin interface. The users can't remove it because it's not in the admin interface unless they know how to speak UPnP. There are no UPnP tools that are easily available and usable that allow you to delete these rules and monitor the devices. So is there anything we can do? Turn it off. And vendors, I bought 8 of these devices in the past 2 weeks from, you know, built in 2004 through now. Not a single one had UPnP off. I actually found one that you can't even turn UPnP off on, and it was manufactured in 2008. Don't forward for anybody else. It's part of the spec, but not really. The spec doesn't actually call out who you should be able to forward for. It just lets you do forwards. What else could we do? We could modify the UPnP servers to have some level of configuration for trust. It's not great. It might break things. In practice, it doesn't. I mean, really, you know, how many people have it on right now? How many people need to send photos via MSN chat? Implement the device security profile. This has existed since, I think, 6 weeks after the original profile or the original design of IGD. They actually call out an IGD and say there is no security. You should implement it. This spec's 98 pages. It's PKI based. I got through about 48 pages before I gave up reading it. I can understand why the vendors didn't implement it. And this is one of my ideas. It's not great, but it's better. Issuing a simplified key, you know, whether it's in the URL or a SOAP header, that would allow specific applications to make port rule changes and then have a mapping interface. So it would actually require a lot of modification work on both the client and the server, so it's probably not practical. Stop buying insecure devices, and the vendors will at least stop making them insecure. So some other stuff that should really scare you. So this is basic profile stuff. This actually exists in the majority of DSL routers and in a number of other devices. You can set the router. You can set DNS, so we don't have to have a race. There is no race. It's just you lose. And you can also get the username and password for PPOE, which in general tends to be your email address and your password, so I can get your Amazon account. Again, no authentication. Even worse, Linux IGDs from 2006 and before, use system. You can run anything you want. This is benign. It reboots the device. You can very easily put it in TFTP flash mode and send new firmware. They're small computers. They've got web servers. Nobody patches them. I turn around and who's the last person to patch their firmware on their router? Every classic attack that you can think of exists on these devices. It doesn't have to be local either. The GNU Citizen guys actually came up with a flash-based attack that blindly does a post to the Linksys URL. So you win there. I am not going to show you UPnPwn because I'm running short on time. It's on your disk. It's basically a toolkit for allowing you to experiment with these devices. It gives you tab completion in IRB, which is Ruby shell, so that you can query the devices. I will show you a quick side demo of it, though. Without looking at the code, we can still do things like, let me blow this up full screen for you. Query the device for everything the device provides. So we can get a specific port mapping. We can terminate connections, which is a fun game to play with users. One packet, connection drop. Another packet, connection started. Switch the device to bridge mode. This one doesn't support get username, but a lot of other ones do. I'm going to skip right to my fourth demo for you real quick. This one's a little scary. So I went to Fry's. I bought a IP connected webcam. Plugged it in, forgot about it, and I ended up with this rule in my device out of the box. Oh, it's not up yet. All right, there we go. Port 80 inbound, unconfigured camera with infrared and microphone, open, out of the box, admin. And apparently the majority of these devices do this. Turn off UPnP. So I think I've got about 2 minutes left if there's any questions. There's a mic over here.
Could you repeat the question just for everybody's benefit?
Sure. So the question was, are there profiles that allow placing devices in DMZ? I haven't found one, but I've only got 8 devices. I actually need more if anybody's got them. But you can switch the device into bridged mode on a lot of these devices, which is the functional equivalent in a lot of cases. So that's pretty close to what they call DMZ mode on a lot of these devices. There's also apparently a UPnP-enabled heating, vacuuming, air conditioning, and cooling unit. Honeywell makes it. If anybody has one, please find me. I want one. So any other questions? I'd say 70 or 80% are taking them only on the inside. I haven't gone and scanned the internet, but a couple of people have told me that a major DSL provider in a country north of us has it available on all of the DSL modems on the outside. They're out there. You can Google hack for them if you really want to find them, because they're web servers that get indexed. So, anything else? All right, well, thank you, guys.